From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
Catholic journalists from across the country gathered in St. Petersburg, Florida at the end of June for the Catholic Media Convention. This annual meeting gives Catholics in the media the chance to network, attend professional seminars, and see old friends. The CMC is also best known for the annual Catholic Press Association Awards. This week on Register Radio, we talk to Register Managing Editor Tom Wehner about the convention and the awards the Register and EWTN News won. We're also joined by Register contributor Patty Armstrong, one of those award winners, to discuss her role in Catholic journalism. I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register, joined by my co-host Matthew Bunsen, Senior Editor for the Register. The National Catholic Register had a very good year this year at the Catholic Press Awards, as did Catholic News Agency and EWTN on the broadcast side, too. Our managing editor, Tom Wehner, was there. He attended this conference and has a lot to share with us about how the Catholic press is doing. But it's also something that Tom tells our team all the time as a managing editor. It's nice to have awards, but we're not in this for the accolades. And Tom, I do want to say I'm very happy to be able to say congratulations to you and the rest of our team for 17 awards this year.
Well, thanks, Jeanette. It's a pleasure to be with you, as always. And it's always a pleasure to go to the Catholic Press Association, the annual convention, because it is a chance for us to network, and it's always gratifying to be recognized by your peers in the industry in which you operate. It was especially gratifying to know that to see how we work as a team on a day-to-day basis, and to have them have our colleagues recognized as well.
So we won 17 awards, Tom. How does this award process work? Let's walk our listeners through what we have to do to actually get these awards. What do we do?
Well, it's something that we start with the first issue, our first print edition of the year. We need to really be cognizant and really be to really keep an eye out for the stories that that really we'd like to submit. We have so many accomplished writers and so many strong contributors that it's important for us as editors to really see where we stand out and to keep an eye on that. So, for instance, on my cluttered floor in my office here in Connecticut, I have a bunch of our print editions around my desk with little sticky notes with different notes for me to remember to submit them to discuss with you when the time comes to for the awards, our award submissions, to remember to push those forward and promote those because I'm sure you do too. And it's a painstaking process because we not only have to keep in mind what the different categories that we're submitting for, as well as our strongest stories.
So I don't know exactly how many categories. I mean, I think in all the divisions, there's well over 100 that we could possibly submit for. The Register itself. There's all sorts of divisions. There's a division that you can compete against all of the journalists. So this would be in all members division, and this would be magazines and all writers up against newspapers, and diocesan newspapers up against national newspapers. It's kind of a free for all, and online content up against printed news content. But there's also divisions that categories that separate these out, and so the Register tries to submit in all of these categories. We submit right for the graphics side of things, as well as categories that would judge the quality of writing and photos. So it's really every January this sneaks up on us. And as you were saying, Tom, we have our offices, our home offices, cluttered with with the newspapers laid out everywhere, and we basically discuss what to submit. And this year we submitted, I think it was over 25, maybe 26 categories, and we won 17. That's a pretty strong record. And let's go over some of the best, Tom. We're going to talk in a few minutes with Patty Armstrong, who won in the best blog category. But we almost had a sweep there. We won first and second place in blogs. So Patty Armstrong won first, and Kathy Schiffer won second place in the best blog by a layperson. But what were some of our print awards?
Well, one of the things that I was particularly pleased with was year in, year out, she's a very solid writer for us. But Judy Roberts, who won for a piece on she wrote on the sex abuse scandal, and from dealing with the grief from the sex abuse and coming back from that. She won a first place award for that.
Features.
And mm-hmm. Yes, for features. And so while that was a subject that dominated the news pretty much all last year. But her piece, Journeying from Grief to Grace, How a Retreat Program Helps Sex Abuse Victims Heal. As soon as I can remember, as soon as I saw that, I knew that we had a strong, I mean, she's a very strong writer to begin with, but, you know, I knew that was going to be very much a featured piece for us to submit.
And another great one that won.
But you're right about.
Another great one that won first place was in the area of vocations, which was really cool mm-hmm. because we actually, together with Catholic News Agency, did sweep the vocations category. We won first, second, and third. And ours won first place for a report we did on priestly ordinations and for a story done by Sabrina Farisi. And she wrote alongside with Ann Hendershot and Mackenzie White, and they highlighted the diocese that had the highest number of vocations kind of historically over a period of time. It was a great report, a great spread on page one in a print edition, and of course we ran it online. But it was really, really good for us to win in the area of vocations. And in features, especially during a year that was so difficult for the church. And Tom, you know, I was thinking about that. I wanted to ask you. You were at the press the national convention here with all the journalists, Catholic journalists from around the country, visiting with colleagues and seeing some of our freelance writers and all of that. What was the tenor like? How were people after such a difficult year of reporting on scandal?
Well, it was interesting because one of the keynote speakers was the head of the disciplinary department of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, and he expressed being shell shocked over what happened. And at one point, he said, "When I read some of the reports, I wanted to scream." And this was from a Vatican official. I think that when you see you run the gamut of Catholic journalists, from seasoned journalists to people who are writing for diocesan papers, who see it as an apostolate as well as to see it as a profession. It's interesting to see the different responses, to read their responses. There's a healthy mix of reporters and reportage that goes on there. So it was nice to connect them because they acknowledged the stories that we have at the Register, and they gave in some of the breakout sessions they gave their take on what was happening in their own dioceses as well. And it was you know, everybody's still trying to pick up the pieces from that and try to move on.
Yeah, Tom, one of the questions that I had going into this is, and you've answered it in part, but what do you see as sort of the state of morale or the state of Catholic journalism sort of writ large? And what role do you see EWTN News and the National Catholic Register in particular playing in guiding that evolution and that life of Catholic media?
You know, I never was more reminded of the place the Register has and where EWTN has in this thing, because in the whole its place in reporting on the Church, just because there's still a lot of anger among media professionals and a lack of trust, and I think that the hard news that was reflected in our coverage over the last year, as well as the stories of hope and the stories of redemption, which is a main theme of our faith. It was just a reminder, just in speaking with these people, my colleagues in the Catholic press, and just a reminder of the importance of where we stand, because we're not alarmists, and we don't get involved in some of the muckraking that we see so often in the media, both Catholic media and mainstream media today. And so we try to, and it comes from the top down, that we realize that our place as sons and daughters of God, and so we take our responsibility in the Catholic press very seriously.
Tom, that's a great way to put it. We're all out of time, and I think you end on a very important note. At the Register, and in a lot of the Catholic press, I should say, but especially at the Register, we always see ourselves as Catholics first, sons and daughters of the Church, and journalists second. You know, and that's our profession. It's something we often get joy out of doing, and sometimes we do it sluggishly. But certainly we are sons and daughters of the Church first. And journalist second. And so thank you for bringing to us and leading the Register with that vision. And I appreciate so much having you at the helm as a managing editor, especially of that print edition. I just want to rattle off some of the other awards that we won. We won first place. Catholic News Agency won first place in religious liberty issues, and the Register won second place in that category as well. The Catholic News Agency won first place in pro-life issues, and the Register won third place. You can take a look at all of the awards that were won by EWTN and the Register and CNA if you go to www.ewtn.com/media/awards. That's ewtn.com/media/awards. And that's where you can find all of the awards that we won. When we come back, we talk to the writer of the CPA's Choice for Best Blog by a Layperson, Patty Armstrong. This is Register Radio. More when we return.
Have you heard who's reading the Register? Why, it's Matthew Bunsen.
The National Catholic Register is that rarest of institutions in Catholic media, striving always to be faithful, orthodox, timely, and dedicated to journalistic excellence. Catholics know they can always depend on the Register for the news they need to know from an authentically Catholic perspective.
For a 3-month free subscription to the National Catholic Register, go to ncregister.com and click on the 3 months free banner. Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Welcome back. I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register. I'm joined by Matthew Bunsen, my co-host here on Register Radio. We've been talking about the annual Catholic Press Awards and the recognition for 17 awards given to the Register for our work in 2018. One of our highest awards this year was Best Blog by a Layperson. In my memory of the years we've been submitting to the Catholic Press Association, this was the first time we've won an award in the blog category. So I think the Register's had blogs for over 10 years. So this is really important to me. And Register blogger Patty Armstrong, who joins us now, took home that award. Congratulations, Patty.
Thanks, Jeanette. It was quite a surprise because I did not even know I was entered. So it was fun news.
Surprise, surprise. Yes, it was. We were thrilled to be able to enter you and Kathy Schiffer into this category. We felt like you had some just really strong blogs last year, and And so we submitted them. They were, one was on the apocalypse. One was on a divine reminder, which if I remember correctly, it was a divine reminder to pray the rosary. And then one of your Holy Hacks blogs is what we submitted. And the way this works, Patty, is that we submit just three blogs and they, and your blog, you know, the URL, and they can go through and look at all of the blogs, but we have to submit a few, for them to start with. And so that's what we did. It's always tough to choose what blogs to submit. But that's how you ended up in this place, winning this award. And Patty, you know, so often your stories are among our top trending articles or blogs. And I wanted to ask you, why do you think that is?
Well, I knew you were going to ask me that, so I thought about it ahead of time. I'll share with you, when I first heard I won the award, my first thought was that this was all God. Glory to God. And I'm not, it's not a false humility, because I think, I'm 62, I'll share that with you, because I think God waited that long for me to win an award like this. So that I would think like that, that is where my inspiration comes from. And I started out in the secular world, and I actually used to write, I wrote for a lot of different publications. I wrote for Women's World magazine for 10 years, but a turning point in my faith life was when I walked away from the National Catholic, no, I'm saying this wrong, the National Enquirer, a tabloid, and decided I was going to give my gift of writing back to God. And so that's why I really see the hand of God in how well things go, if they go well, because I'm doing it for him. I'm not doing it for myself anymore, although when I started out, that's what I was doing. And I go to daily mass, and I spend time before the Blessed Sacrament. And I have been amazed at the inspiration, the ideas, the corrections to something I'm writing, and then all of a sudden something will come to me that comes when I'm in adoration. Mm-hmm. And so really, the inspiration is all God's. I'm just here to, I'm a secretary. It's my job to go over things and try to write well, but the inspiration is all his. And I think anybody who's a writer knows we can sit there all day and not come up with any good ideas. And another time, all of a sudden, we can be filled with inspiration. And so it isn't really by choice that when the ideas come or they don't come. It's just about opening yourself up to inspiration.
Well, what are your favorite topics to cover, though? Because you are so wonderfully eclectic, and yet surely there must be a couple of areas that are especially fun to work on for you.
Yeah, there's a couple of things. One is, I actually have a degree in social work, and I worked in the field, and I have a master's in public administration. And so when I'm interviewing people and really getting to something that gets to the heart of an issue, that means a lot to me, and it's personal, and it's kind of a process that really brings everything together. And so sometimes my blogs are about people's very dramatic personal experiences. For instance, I have one that's submitted that will be coming out, is a woman who I had known for 20 years, and I only recently found out is a mother of 5 kids, and her husband, she was just determined to have a good Catholic marriage, and he decided he was a woman. I don't do a story like that for the sensationalism, but because of the beauty and grace in which she navigated this, mm-hmm. and continues to do that. She did get an annulment. And so right away, there's a story that's going to grab people's attention. But there has to be something deeper than, I'd still be at the National Enquirer if all I was doing was looking for headlines.
Right.
There has to be something deeper. You know, if I do something where I've interviewed exorcists, that gets a lot of attention. But there has to be something that brings people back to the faith that they can get out of it personally, whether it's about forgiveness or growing closer to the sacraments. And so it's kind of a two-level thing, something that's attention-getting and then something that's God, you know, attention-getting, getting attention for him and integrating it into our faith. And then the other favorite topic is whatever is happening in the world, that I feel that it is such an honor and a privilege to be able to blog, but I have to remember who I'm doing it for. So I might sit down and see something that's going on in the world that's making us angry, And my first version is a far cry from my final edited version, because I have to be real careful that it's just not, oh, another rant from Patty. It needs to not be a rant, but I need to bring in scripture and the catechism and what other people are saying and bring people back to the church and take away the edge sometimes. Because I feel like this is important to fellow Catholics, that we feel supported and that we also, the Catholics feel heard.
Absolutely.
We feel like we're getting trampled on in the media and that the news isn't always being reported accurately, but it's more than just accurate reporting of news. It's the Catholic perspective of the news and how do we need to look at this? How should this be affecting us? How should we proceed? Because during times like this, we really need the Catholic media, like the National Catholic Register, to direct us and help us get a perspective so we're not just depressed, we're not just angry all the time, so that even if we're covering something that's difficult, in some way we are feeling uplifted and directed to do something positive.
Absolutely, Patty. I think you've said that very well. And, you know, we were just talking about the fact that we're Catholic first and journalists second with Tom Wehner in the first half of the show. And it's so true. That's what I love about our writers, our freelancers like you, is that we really are that. You know, we really do take our faith seriously. And just like many of our listeners on the show, our readers, we're Catholics in the pew. We're experiencing the same challenges and sometimes the same joys that they are too. Patty, you have an art of being able to tell a story. And I do want to say a little bit about your background. You mentioned what you did in the secular world, but, you know, on your blog, you have your bio there. And a lot of our listeners wouldn't remember Ascension Press's Amazing Grace series. And you were co-author and managing editor of that best-selling series by Ascension. You've written a few books. The newest one is Holy Hacks, Everyday Ways to Live Your Faith and Get to Heaven. And another book, Big Hearted, Inspiring Stories from Everyday Families. And I love that this art of storytelling also comes from your own personal experience. I mean, Patty, you're a mom, a husband, and a mother of 10 kids, and you have the big extended family because your kids are now having kids too. So, it is so important to have this wonderful art of storytelling. How does your own family also help or even hinder in this process?
Well, I am convinced that God didn't just inspire me to be a writer and give me the gift of writing. He gave me stuff to write about. So one of my favorite things to write and speak about is how we don't just have 10 kids. We have 8 boys and 2 girls, which means it's been pretty rough on our house over the years. The youngest is now a senior in high school. And 2 of our boys, we adopted 2 boys from Kenya. One is now a doctor, and one just finished up in the Marines and has a degree and is going to go for his master's. And they were AIDS orphans, and their story of coming to our family, and just even, you know, my husband had a reversal. So we went from, you know, the last 4 kids we have are like the post-reversal babies that changed their life and changed our story. And the boys that came to us from Kenya, oh my gosh, their stories are mind-boggling. We're, you know, the oldest, he didn't even have a birth certificate. His parents had died. He was suffering from malnutrition, owned 2 pairs of pants. And he began praying that one day he could come to school in the United States. And he had never even met an American at that point.
Wow.
So talk about an amazing story. And he's a doctor now, happily married with a 3 or 4 month old little boy, 4 months old
Praise
now.
God.
And so these stories, I'm living them as well as learning about them. And God has really integrated all my interests, all my experiences in education. And so when I did the Amazing Grace book series, he brought me so many of those stories. I would be standing in line next to somebody who would tell me something. And then this one woman said, I don't know why I just told you that. And I said, well, I do. I'm collecting stories. And what I started doing with the very first book, and it was with Jeff Cavins and Matt Pinto, but I was just supposed to collect stories, and I just said, no, I can do better than that. Because of my 10 years with Woman's World, I really had learned how to write so that people were experiencing the story mm-hmm. and not just being told about it. And so instead of people never got back with me when I said, hey, can you send me a story? So I started asking for phone numbers and I would interview them and write their story and then say, okay, I want you to look this over. If there's so much as one vocabulary word that's not, doesn't feel right to you, you take that out. This needs to be your story. And so it really became, it just became a labor of love where we together told their story and then I would give it back to them, but I had to be inside their head. So when I was sitting down to write their story, I could write it in first person. And oftentimes if there was a child or somebody who had died, I'd stop and pray for that person and ask them to help me right. in the writing of it. So it really became a very deeply spiritual experience as well as an experience in writing.
Well, Patty, I am thrilled that you write for the National Catholic Register. I enjoy our conversations here so much. I enjoy what you write, and I always know that you're praying. And so when you come to us with something that is definitely an eye-catching headline and you're like, oh no, where is this going to go? I also know that you're going to bring it deep and you're going to bring it home. And I mean home to the faith, home to the Catholic Church. And usually that's inspiring. And sometimes it's a warning. So I appreciate that work. I hope you continue to write for us for a very, very long time. And thank you. Congratulations. Matthew.
Well, I just wanted to finish up this episode by saying that you were very kind in saluting the work of Tom Wehner and all the whole editorial staff, and then Patty, you too. But let's not let this occasion pass without saluting you, Jeanette, for the work that you do as our leader and as such a key figure in the life of the Register. So thank you.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. And I just teed off for you to give me kudos. That's awesome. Thanks, Matthew. You know, I love the Register and I really mean that. So God has blessed us. So for those of you who want to see these awards, who want to see Patty's work, go to ncregister.com. Check out Patty's blog. You can find it in our blog lineup. You can also go to EWTN/media/awards to see a big long list of all the awards won by EWTN News. Remember, for more news, analysis, and commentary, check out the National Catholic Register online at ncregister.com. Thanks for joining us here on Register Radio on EWTN. For Matthew Bunsen and our producer, Jeff Burson, I'm Jeanette DeMello. Until next week, God bless you.